to John chapter 17. Tonight we'll conclude our study of the Lord's Prayer, which is what John 17 consists of. It's one of the deepest and most powerful chapters of Scripture in all the Word of God. And Jesus ends His prayer in verses 25 and 26 by saying, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." The title of tonight's message is "The Distinguishing Difference." Jesus concludes His prayer by stating the distinguishing difference between those who are saved and those who are unsaved. And I think it's significant that He ends His prayer by acknowledging the righteousness of His Father. God the Father is absolutely just. There is no unfairness in our great God. Everything He does is right. I believe with all my heart every judgment that God makes is right. His sovereign will is right. And Jesus says, "O righteous Father, the world have not known Thee." Now, He's not talking about the world of the saved, because there is a world of saved people who have been chosen, redeemed, and called, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who no longer lie in the wicked one, who are not led about by Satan, but who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, teaching them, guiding them, enlightening them, empowering them for service. There is a world of the saved that know God through Jesus Christ. But there is a world that consists of the ungodly. And it operates under a world system that is completely contrary to God, to His Word, to His truth. That world does not recognize the righteousness of God. That world does not pay any mind to the law of God. They don't concern themselves with the consequences of their sin. And Jesus says, "There, the world hath not known Thee." The world of the ungodly do not know God. They don't seek after God. They don't want to know God. They're yet in their sins. The world of the ungodly who lie in the wicked one are void of any saving knowledge of the true God. They lie in ignorance and self-imposed darkness because of the magnitude of their depravity and their hatred for God. They manifest their hatred in many, many ways through atheism, through idolatry, through immorality, through ungodliness and unrighteousness and unholiness and blasphemy. This world that does not know God completely rejects the message of the gospel. Included in the world of the ungodly are the world of the religious people who are ungodly. So how can somebody who is religious be ungodly? Well, they follow the wrong God. The God of their own imagination. Some follow the God of a perverted prophet named Muhammad. Some follow the writings of Confucius. Some follow the ideology of Karl Marx or Lenin or Trotsky or Mao. They're ungodly. They're unholy. They hate God. And they exhibit this outwardly. But there are religious people who are ungodly as well. Every false preacher who is leading people down into darkness by declaring that there is another way of salvation, whether it be through their efforts of social gospel or trying to improve the environment, none of those things save. They're the ungodly. You see, there's only one way to know God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And I believe that we are living in a day and age, and I've said this many times, I don't know if it clicks with you. Christians have never been the majority. Someone who actually believes the Bible, believes that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, that He is virgin born, that He lived a perfect life, that He died a substitutionary death, that He literally rose bodily from the dead and conquered death and hell and the grave. The world at large does not believe that message. A small minority of people in history have believed that message. But it is the message of truth. When Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into the world to declare the Father's glory, a vast majority rejected His ministry and His message. That's why it's clearly stated in John 3, verses 19 and 20, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Anyone who dies in their sins, rejecting Jesus Christ and a saving knowledge of God, is in essence repeating what's recorded in Job 21, verses 14 and 15. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Jesus here says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee. What terrible words of condemnation. The world of the ungodly does not know God. Jesus turns all Christ rejectors over to the justice of God to be justly punished for their willful rebellion and stubbornness and hatefulness. Do you know God tonight? Through Jesus Christ. Have you been brought to see your sin? The fact that you aren't good enough to get to heaven. That you do not have the works or the merits or the religion that will take you there. You don't have it. You don't have what it takes. You never will in and of yourself. I pray that God will open your eyes to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. The difference between the world that knows not God and the people who have come to a saving knowledge of God is plainly stated here. Jesus says, "But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me." Our knowledge of God is a result of our eternal union and our position in Christ. We know God because Christ has revealed this knowledge to us by the power of His Spirit and the truth of His Word. You see, we would be just like the world of the ungodly if God would not have intervened. If God would not have made us alive unto Him. If God would not have opened our eyes and our heart and changed our perverted will, we would be on the broad road to destruction. But the distinct difference is God made the difference. But God! Without God's intervention, all men would remain blinded to the glories of God and His salvation. We would have all remained in darkness if Christ had not declared His salvation to us through the effectual call of the Spirit. That really amazes me. When I think that God would intervene in my life personally. In the grand scheme of humanity, I am a tiny, insignificant speck of human flesh. By and large, the world knows nothing of me and cares little for me. But I am eternally loved by my Heavenly Father. And I am so loved that Jesus Christ died in my stead and then revealed to me my need of salvation. And I am so thankful tonight that I am not among those who say, "Depart from us. We don't desire a knowledge of your ways." God has so thoroughly changed me and made a difference in me. I want to say, "Lord, I belong to You. Reveal to me. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Draw me close. Draw me near. Make me a better child of the King." How we ought to thank God for the miraculous difference that Christ has made in our lives. By declaring and revealing the Father to us. If you're saved, it's Christ who's made the difference in your life. And therefore, He should receive all of the glory. Matthew 11:27, All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. These have known that thou hast sent me. Isn't it a glorious thing to know that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know and believe that everything that God did regarding the first advent of Christ and how He prepared the Virgin Mary, how He preserved her life, how He overshadowed her by the power of the Holy Spirit, how the birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle, that He was never tainted by sin, that He has revealed God to us. He is the Word, who is the one who has communicated God, God's salvation, God's will, God's way. He's opened our eyes up to that, so that we can know Him, and that we know that Jesus was sent by Him to redeem us. Verse 26. I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This verse states the reason why Christ has declared and continues to declare the Father to His people. It is so that the love of God may be communicated to them. And again, this is something you ought to ponder, something you ought to think deeply about. How wonderful it is to know that you are an object of God's eternal love. And how much more glorious is it to experience the love of God in your heart? See, I know intellectually the doctrine of God's everlasting love. I can quote you scriptures. I can go to portions of the Bible that teach the love of God. But you see, Jesus Christ came not only to reveal God to us, but to allow us to experience the glory of God's love in our soul. We actually don't just acknowledge this intellectually as a knowledge that we embrace, but it's something that we actually experience. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. It's interesting to note that Christ begins and ends this portion of Scripture in the very same way. You remember, John 13-17, He is talking to a small group of believers, really to the members of the first New Testament church. And in John 13:1, it says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And here in John 17:26, it records that Christ's love has been communicated to His people. Tonight, we need to praise God for His abounding love for us. It's a love that's been demonstrated by His sacrifice and resurrection. And it's a love that's experienced in the new birth, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, in the grace that God pours out upon us, the way He provides every need that we have, the fellowship that He allows us to have, the kinship that we share with other believers. These are all demonstrations of God's abounding love, opening up the Word of truth to us, making the promises real to us, encouraging our hearts when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, finding courage through the promises of God, knowing that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The love of God. Look into your life. See how the love of God operates each and every day. We'll close with a quote from J.C. Ryle. We may well feel humbled as we leave this chapter when we think of our ignorance of the true meaning of many of its phrases. How much of our exposition is nothing better than feeble conjecture? We seem only to scratch the surface of the field. Let us only remember that the four things prayed for by our Lord are things that every Christian should daily desire. 1, preservation. 2, sanctification. 3, unity. And 4, final glory in Christ's company forevermore. Let's all stand.
Page number 6.